Good morning.
Good
morning. How are y'all doing? Welcome to the Promised Land today. My name is Robin Steele. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm honored today to be joined by my wife. This is Erica Steele. If y'all have not met her yet, yeah. And we're excited to have you here. I have fully violated the Labor Day, post-Labor Day dress code, and I've been told many times today that I look like a sailor, or I look like a gondola operator, or
Popeye.
I just need a red bandana, maybe a hat. I don't know. So here we are. Welcome to everybody that's watching us online today. We are honored to have you with us. Glad to have you wherever you're watching from. Let's give all them a hand right now. Welcome them that are watching us via the internet. We, our Lockhart campus, if you're not aware of, they meet at 10:30 in Lockhart, at Lockhart Junior High, and they are in the same message series that we're in. And today, Irene, who's Mike, Pastor Mike's wife, will be joining him as well. And so we're talking about family all month, and we're giving you as many practical and biblical steps that you can possibly take this month. In order to help move your family forward, we want to give you things that you can put to practice this week or even today as you're leaving here. We've done several things. One is we handed everybody one of these little bracelets that say, today we've passed these out, they say Family 30 on it, and it also says, I love my family.
Which, how many of you, like me, need that reminder sometimes? Like when you're riding in the car with a 12 and 14-year-old children, maybe?
Yeah.
Perhaps?
You can.
You have to say, I love my family. I love my family.
I really do love my family. You can say it. You can pray it. You can speak it prophetically if you're not feeling it, however you want to. But this is a great reminder. Wear this the next 30 days just to kind of keep you focused on what's happening. Last week, we kicked it off and gave you five different things that you could do last week. Today is a topic that is something that you could probably use in the car as you're driving out of the parking lot today. And this, how to deal with conflict. How to deal with conflict in your family. And so we're expanding the definition of family throughout this series. It's your live with family, the people in your home. It's your biological family. It's your husband and wife. It's your kids, your parents, your grandparents. For those of you that are single, that are living with roommates, consider that your family. In fact, what we're talking about today will apply to any relationship that you have at work, at home, at school. For those of you that are Texas State students, Bobcats. Where are the Bobcats? Any Bobcats in here? Okay, Bobcats. This sermon series might be the best class that you take this semester. Take notes. Get prepared before you fall in love, before you get married, before you have your own family.
Yes.
Amen. What do you think? How about those Longhorns yesterday? Come on. Horns up.
Oh, there's some.
They finally played really good. That was awesome.
This is awesome.
How about the Bobcats? Did you pull it off in Southern Alabama? I forgot to look. They lost. They were winning. They were doing so well.
Okay.
We're digressing here. Okay. All right. So unhealthy couples fight to be right. Healthy couples fight for reconciliation. We're using the term fight today in a way that we all have different contexts for fighting in relationships. We want to teach you how to fight fair in a marriage, in a family, with roommates, whoever you're having a disagreement. We want a healthy environment to disagree. Because here's the deal. We're going to give you this message today. It's not going to solve all your problems. It's not going to fix your issues. Erica and I have been married for 19 years now. We have three kids. They're 12, 14, and 16. We're the pastors of the church. Yes. And we argue.
This is very true.
We do. We do. We argue. Mm-hmm. We have never graduated past disagreeing, and I don't know of any couple that has ever got past disagreeing. However, there's a healthy way to disagree, and there's an unhealthy way to disagree. And we're going to be totally transparent with you today. We want to share with you some things that we've gone through. And we want to go to Scripture. And we want to give you some key scriptural things that you can put into practice. So over the last 19 years, mm-hmm. there's been several things that have, you know, stirred up mm-hmm. some emotional response between each other. Mm-hmm. And part of it goes back to the fact that we were raised in completely different households. Mm-hmm. So in my household, my parents were married. We all lived together. And they're here today. I give honor to my parents. They've been married for 46 years. 46 years. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So my family environment was a whole lot different from Erica, who's did not have both parents in the home. Mm-hmm. What was yours like?
I mean, my mom was the solo parent, and you know, it just looked a lot different. There were not traditional roles for me to learn from, or you know, so many things looked different to yeah. me, and I had so many different expectations coming into a marriage, and he did too.
So when we brought these expectations into a marriage, it would cause conflict whenever I would expect for her to be something or do something or be somewhere, and she wasn't, mm-hmm. and it's same vice versa. Mm-hmm. And so we have a couple examples we want to share with you today, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
I told her.
Okay, before the lights came up and the video was playing, he said, maybe you could not be so mean to me in this service.
Yes, this is what happened.
If you want to hear the rest of it, you can listen to last
week. This week I said, what if we just got in a fight in front of everybody and just showed them, like, hands-on, this is how you do it.
I said, we can't do that. It would make everyone so uncomfortable. They would just leave.
We got really close in the first service. Okay, we got really close.
I wasn't mad, but I think you were.
So we, in our house, we live in Blanco Vista up here, this pretty nice neighborhood on the north side of town. And there's little ants, though, that are all over, you know, all over Texas, right? There's fire ants. So for some reason, they like to live.
You're already trying to diminish it. You're making it bigger. They're all over Texas. They're everywhere. It's just so.
Most of them are in our yard, though, at our house. And they are coming inside of our house. And so they're in our kitchen. This has been going on for several years. Let me have a little bit of.
Okay, I'm just glad you said.
I know you're
going to
contribute, but.
Okay.
So they're coming into our house. They're coming into our kitchen, and they are living there. And I personally haven't had a big problem with them. Erica doesn't.
He doesn't have any problem with them. He just makes his coffee, and there are ants crawling all over the counter.
I feel like it's nature. It's kind of like you're camping out, organic, being one with the world,
except
being
that
one.
They hurt and bite you.
So she's told me multiple times, please call an exterminator, please put out the poison and all that, and I have not done that. So what happened last week?
So last week, these ants that have been around for years. I was tucking my son into bed, and he said, oh, I felt something on my foot. Well, he pulls his foot up, nothing's there. I'm like, oh, it's probably nothing, just probably no big deal. So he tucks his leg back under the covers, and he all of a sudden is like, oh no, there's something on my foot. I was like, what? So we lift up the covers, and there are lots of fire ants, like not just a couple, hundreds of fire ants in the bottom of his bed for some reason. There was no food that I could identify, but there were ants in his bed. And that was one of the last straws.
You know the whole thing, don't let the bed bugs bite.
Robin doesn't think bed bugs are a big deal, though. Like, if ants were in his bed, I'm sure he wouldn't mind.
So she comes to get me. This is Saturday night. And on Saturday night, it's like I am so adamant about being ready for Sunday.
At 10 o'clock.
I eat dinner early. I iron all my clothes. I'm in bed by 10 o'clock. And if things
he just
happen,
disappears. He doesn't even say anything.
I go to bed.
He's gone.
It's for you. I'm doing it for you, okay? I'm trying to just, as we go through this story, think about that. Okay, yes. So
I discover these ants right after he had gotten in bed. So he's still awake. So I come back into the bedroom. I'm like, babe, you got to come in here. There are fire ants in Avery's bed. He's like, what? And I said, like, and he doesn't get up out of bed immediately. I'm like, no, really, you need to come see this. There's like a lot of ants in this bed. Oh, so he gets up out of bed and comes in there. He's like, oh, yeah. All right, well, I'll deal with that in the morning.
So I was just thinking, hey, come get in our room, sleep in our room.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just deal with it
tomorrow.
No, you
said go sleep in the game room. You told him go sleep in the game.
Go sleep in the game room. Okay.
So
we'll deal with it tomorrow. I'm going to bed. Mm-hmm. So I go back to bed, and I'm dozing off and, you know, trying to get in the zone.
I had been cleaning up the ants and taking the sheets outside and doing all that stuff and plugging up the holes with ant poison and
So I had this vision of it was going to happen the next day. She had a vision of it was going to happen right then.
We make a pallet for Avery beside
our bed.
So
I'm dozing off and Avery comes in the door. This is like at least 20 minutes later, 30.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in this other, you know, zone. And then here they come in the door, talking.
That is so not
and
true.
And making all this
for
racket
the record,
and stuff.
That's not true. It was like, Avery, be very quiet. We don't want to wake your father. Everybody knows it's bad if you wake him up. He is
My goodness.
So we're making a pallet, and Avery goes, Mom, I just wondered, I need to go get something. And all of a sudden, what's going on over there? I'm trying to go to sleep. And I turned to him and said, oh, really? Because I don't want to be asleep. I would rather be dealing with fire ants. And it set us on a not good trajectory.
Yeah.
And then he went to sleep. So
that's one topic that has caused issues. And we're going to deal with that, okay? We're gonna deal with that. Okay, so another thing that happens is I do the dishes all the time. Seriously, this is not a joke. I know you think I'm joking. Do it all the time.
Can we admit that?
Can we start with that?
I mean, yes. A large majority of the time, he does do dishes.
And I do laundry a lot.
Yeah.
Right? I help a lot. Do it. Take it
down. A lot.
Everybody's laundry.
Do
the laundry. Separate the whites and the darks and the brights.
Does the laundry.
And then take
I
them
just
up
lay on the couch and eat
then,
ice cream.
And then put them in separate rooms and fold them. And so I do that. But here's the rub. The one time that I leave socks by the bed or socks by, why can't you put your socks up?
Do I yell like that?
Probably. That's how I receive it. That's how I receive it. Why do you leave your socks out all the time? Or I leave a little bit of food in the sink. I've put the food, I've washed them, I've put them away so many times. But the one time I don't, why don't you put the food in the disposal? Why don't you turn the food? And so I'm over there going, why can't you tell me the 75 times that I did it? Great job, Robin. You're so proud of you. That's so awesome. Instead, it's the one time.
I wanted the same cheering for lots of other things, but crickets.
So, isn't it interesting how it can start off like one little small thing, and then it can grow into this huge argument that's something else that's bigger, and all these other things get drawn into it, and all these other issues get talked about, and it grows into something else. There's some things in our marriage that keep coming up over and over that because of our backgrounds, because of things we're going with, also, this is something that's really important that you may not realize, but when you're walking with Christ, when you're a disciple of Jesus, there's some things that he's working on you from the inside out, you know, way down deep below the surface, that he's working on you. You're not completely there yet, right? But those will come to the surface, and then your spouse will have some things that God is working on them with, and sometimes those come to the surface, and there are things that's going to take a while to mature, to grow, and to get stronger, but you've made a covenant with one another, a commitment to one another, to walk together through thick and thin, better or worse, riches and poverty, sickness and health, and all that. There's going to be a lot of those times where those issues rise to the surface, and we have to deal with them. So one of those is the problem we have when Erica has a great idea for the church, and I don't really think it's a great idea, and we have to wade through those discussions of, why don't you listen to me? Why don't you care about what I think about? I'm just the wife. I'm not the pastor. You listen to all these other people, but you don't listen to me.
That's pretty much the truth.
And then I ask you your advice on so many things,
mm-hmm.
that I need, and I want her to talk to me about and feedback and tell me and tell me. Mm-hmm. But she's really passionate about like the soap dispensers or the whatever. And that the wall behind the baptistry back there, she's wanted to remodel that wall back behind the baptistry for 10 years. Let her do it. Let her go for it. So it's things that I'm like, yeah, that's great. I love that idea. There's about five other things that I'm really thinking. So these are some of the reoccurring things that come to the surface and just are sort of always there. And we could talk on and on and on about all the different things that are sort of buttons. You know, we all have these buttons that get pushed. What we want to convey to you today is that we have these same issues. We all have these same issues. We're all walking through them. And I want to, we want to give you some tools today. Maybe you can write them all down. You can find one of them to put in practice. One of them, say, hey, we're going to start doing this one thing.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I mean, this is so important because, I mean, the reality is, just like you said, we're giving you these examples that are fairly benign examples of how we disagree, but we've had fights that ended where I'm crying and I feel misunderstood, or he feels totally misunderstood.
Wanted to cry.
He doesn't cry.
Like, I wish I could cry right now because I'm really upset. And you get to cry, and it's like very dramatic, and I want to cry too. I'm crying right now on the inside. That's what I tell you.
Yes.
Okay. So let's go to scripture. This is the key scripture of the whole day. It's James 1:19. It says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So these are three areas that we're going to apply to our life, our relationships. And remember, this could be with your spouse, it could be with your parent, your grandparent, it could be with brothers and sisters. I know there's a lot of conflict between siblings sometimes. It could be coworkers, whatever. The first thing is this, be quick to hear. So your first point you can write down there is stop to listen carefully. Stop to listen carefully. We have two ears and one mouth. And for our deaf community, be aware, be attentive, right? Be connected. We want to stop and engage. Be quick to hear. Be quick to receive from the other person. We live in a day and time where it's much different than in days past. It's much more difficult to listen than it was. Back just a few years ago, the big issue was the wife's trying to get the husband's attention, talk to him. He's watching TV, and he's not paying attention, and she's talking, and he's going, yeah, yeah, yeah. The problem that we have now is the TV is not in a cabinet in the living room. The TV is in our hand, and the TV is constantly going 24/7, And everybody's got one. The kids have one. The parents have one. Sometimes you have two of them. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but attention spans are so short now that you can't just be watching TV. You got to be watching TV and on Facebook on your phone at the same time, because TV by itself is too boring, or vice versa. So one of the things that you're going to hear every single week here that you come during Family 30 is simply turning off electronics is going to help your family culture. Not all the time, but turn them off more and more often. Turn off electronics and listen to other people. Why don't you read us Proverbs 18:2.
Proverbs 18:2 says, "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion."
Oh, man. So it's foolish to be listening to someone and disagreeing with them, and the main goal that you have is wait, and then you can talk. Or cut them off before they even finish talking. Mm-hmm. To jump in, and your main objective is to prove how right you are or how wrong they are. So many times, all we're doing is trying to get in and say something before we hear them out. And from a discipleship perspective, the problem that we have is that if we feel like we have to get our point across and prove ourselves, then we're not really trusting that God is in control of the situation. When we trust in God and rest that He is the designer of our family and the creator of our family, mm-hmm. and He knows exactly how our family should work, then we don't have to be quick to speak and to prove ourselves and defend ourselves, because we trust that God is going to take care of it. Mm-hmm. So quick to listen.
Yeah. So some ways that you can show someone or your spouse or whoever you're talking to that you're quick to listen or to honor them so that you can help the situation is repeating back to them what they just said. So letting them know that you heard what they said. That doesn't mean that you agree with what they said, but just that you're acknowledging what they said. I understand why you, or I hear that you are feeling upset about this, or you seem, you know, whenever I
hear, what I hear you saying is that you do not like ants in our house.
That is correct.
I hear that. So before I go into my spiel about why I don't care about that, I need to listen.
Yes.
And validating feelings is so important, to recognize the feeling. Whether sometimes people get upset and are really upset about things that they should not be upset about. There's no reason for it. You did not actually do what they thought you did or whatever. But even in those instances, mm-hmm. waiting and saying, I hear how you feel.
Yes.
'Cause
I feel like in that situation with the ants specifically, there was this moment where it really shifted a year and a half into it. But where I said, finally, so part of the reason people start raising their voice and yelling and defending themselves is because they're not feeling heard.
Mm-hmm.
In this situation, I was like, I have been telling you month after month,
yeah.
that ants are invading our home.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel heard. Mm. And finally, I realized what bothered me so much is because I felt like he didn't care about me. I didn't care if he didn't like the ants. Like, you don't have to like the ants. I just want to know that you care about me, and you're going to do something because you care about me, and you're going to deal with this.
So good.
And it was...
I'm glad we're having this talk.
And that's when you called the pest control people.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. See? Oh.
Okay. Validating the feeling stops the escalation of voices, because what happens is when I don't feel like I'm being heard, I feel like I need to be louder. I feel like I need to be meaner. I feel like I need to have teeth in my argument. That's where profanity comes. That's where yelling happens. That's where people sometimes get physical because the other person is simply not validating the feeling and listening. So the more that we stop and listen, the more we de-escalate the situation and we allow God to be God. Mm-hmm. And I've like tried and worked on this, and it's amazing how the more I just don't say anything and listen, engaged, you know, with nonverbal and not a listening like this, but a listening, you know, trying to be open and aware of what and compassionate, that the argument seems to be over so fast, and it just changes the whole atmosphere of the room. Mm-hmm. Anything to add to that? Okay, let's go to number two. Guard your words faithfully. So even after you've listened, you still are not supposed to just jump in and say something very fast. It says, be quick to listen, be slow to speak. So even after you've taken the time to listen and engage with this person, then you still are slow to actually say something. Proverbs 12:23 says, a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. The New Living Translation says it really well. The wise don't make a show of their knowledge, but fools broadcast their foolishness. That's so good. It's foolish to jump in and say something as fast as you can.
So there are things you can do to help you remember when a good time to say something would be. So should this be said ever? Should I ever say this thing? And a lot of times that is leading back to those feelings we were having earlier, they were talking about earlier, the anger, the, you know, the hard, harsh stuff that is not nice. Should it be said now? Is this a good time to say it? Or is this putting gasoline on a fire?
Yeah.
Because we're tempted in those moments to let our emotions take over and just pour some gasoline on that. And then it just makes it worse and it's worse and it feeds that.
So there's some things that should never be said. Mm-hmm. And there's some things that should be said, but just not right now.
Yes.
They should be said at a different time, mm-hmm. when attitudes are different, mood is different, location is different.
Yes.
That's so good.
Yeah.
So if the answer is no, then don't say it. There's several times when we've been putting this into practice and we're tempted to say something. Something needs to be said. So one of the things we want to make sure is clear is that if there's issues going on in your relationship, the answer is not just to ignore them. The answer is not just to act like they're not there. But it's important to deal with them in a way that's healthy. So there is a time to deal with difficult conversations. One is the trash can situation. You want to tell them about that?
Sure, yes.
So I was putting the trash cans in the wrong order. They needed to be in a different order. She's very passionate about this.
Whenever you take the trash out the most,
yes,
then you have particular feelings.
Okay.
So
when I do take them back and I put them in a different order, so tell them.
It was so benign. Okay, this is just benign. It really is benign, but it meant something to me. I wanted the trash cans closer to the house so that whenever I went out, I didn't have to walk through the yard and potentially step in things that sometimes animals leave behind. And I didn't want to.
There's also a rattlesnake in our backyard recently.
We recently had a rattlesnake in our backyard that bit our dog. I mean, there are some legitimate concerns. Right. I did not want to have to walk out there at night throwing trash away.
Right.
So, and multiple times he had put the trash cans just kind of wherever they landed, and they would be like the one we use would be all the way over here, and the recycling, which we only have to take out every couple of weeks, was up here. And so I was just like unnecessarily frustrated about it, but I was like, oh, this doesn't even make any sense. Why would you put the trash can all the way over there? And so I wanted to come back in and be like, can you just please put this over here? It's just and really have an attitude about it. And thankfully, you know, each week, whenever we do these things together, we get these opportunities to practice.
Yes.
We're going to say to everyone,
God wants to make sure whenever we have a message like this, that we have many opportunities throughout those 7 days.
Yeah. So
to practice each one of these.
As I'm coming back in, I think, okay, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to calm down about this fairly benign thing. So I gave it a little bit, and then later on, he was working and doing something. I said, hey, babe, would you mind whenever you bring the trash cans back, can you put the black one right by closest to the house so that we don't have to go around and walk so far? And he said, sure, no problem.
When?
I was like,
that's actually several months ago or weeks ago. It's been happening. Yes.
It has. Yes. But it was just it worked. I didn't even have to be snarky or sarcastic like
yes.
I sometimes
yes.
am.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. Here's some things not to say. List these things down. Write these things down. Never call names. Never call names. Don't be derogatory. Names, there's no scripture in the Bible that says, call thy spouse a dog or, you know, a jerk or what. It's not in the Bible. Don't call them that. That's just you using it, letting that emotion and that selfishness get in the way. A second thing is never yell. Mm-hmm. Now, your voice is going to be raised. There's an appropriate elevation of the tone and volume. But don't, screaming and yelling is disrespectful and it's not of God. Mm-hmm. So we'll get more into that in a second. But mm-hmm. what's this? Next one.
Never get historical. So don't go back in time and dig up everything that they ever did wrong and heap it on your one issue at the moment. It is completely unproductive.
Yeah. If there's something going on in your life and your past life and your history that is a big deal and you need to deal with it, then go to counseling. Have conversations. Deal with it in a healthy manner. And then leave it in the past. Mm-hmm. Don't keep dragging it back in to every conversation like you've never talked about it before. So never get historical. The next one is never say never or always. You know, how many times we're in an argument and you say, you always, you never put the food down the disposal. You always leave your socks out. Just a hypothetical, I don't know. Okay, next one is, don't use divorce, a threat of divorce, as manipulation. You know, never threaten divorce. If you have genuine feelings that separation or divorce is like, that's a true thought you've had, then there's a way to say, hey, we need to have a talk. These are some things and thoughts I've had, and I want to talk with you about them. And let's have but to say, you keep doing that, I'm going to leave you, I'm going to, you know. Using that as manipulation mm-hmm. is just ugly.
Yeah.
It's not godly.
This one is.
This last one is so important. Never quote your pastor in an argument. That is so important. I had people today tell me, I tell her that, you remember what Pastor Robin said? He said you weren't supposed to do this, or you're not going. Yeah, please just leave me out of it. Just have your argument, your disagreement. I don't want to be the
Jesus
bad guy.
In.
Yeah, bring Jesus in, not me. I'm not the solution. Jesus is. All right, here's the last thing. Handle our anger righteously. And speaking of being hangry.
Why are you looking at me?
Maybe a meal would help. And relationships, eating meals together.
Yes.
All right, handle our anger righteously.
Right.
So there is a point where things will upset you and you will be angry. But the Bible is very clear that we are not to sin in our anger. Why don't you read Ephesians 4:26?
Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil.
Oh, this is such a good text. Read that text. Write it down, Ephesians 4:26. Maybe that's something you could pray with your spouse about, somebody that you're having an issue with. being angry and not sinning. So Jesus was angry in Scripture several times, yet without sin. So being upset, having a difficulty, having a disagreement is not sinful, and it's not being disobedient. But sinning in that anger is, and that's when you take it to a selfish level. And let's talk about this in our relationship with God. A discipleship moment is that when you feel like it's up to you to fix this person, when you feel like it's up to you to control the situation, then you are going to be sinning in your anger. You're going to say things and do things and take things into your own hands. That's not biblical. Instead, when you trust that God is the ultimate judge, that God is going to take care of everything, that when you lose control in a relationship, that control is not lost. That God is still in control of your marriage, even when you're not in control. Right. When you have that trust in God deep down below the surface of your life, then it's going to affect the way you disagree with somebody. Mm-hmm. And so that's so important. It says, I love Scripture because it gives you that deep theological thing, and then it gives you a practical thing too. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. So if you're struggling with somebody, maybe this is one rule you could put into practice this week. We're not going to go to sleep. We're not going to be separated until we have some sort of unity on this topic. We may not solve it tonight. This may be bigger than what we can wrap our head around tonight. But we're not going to go to bed tonight disrespectful. Right. We're not going to go to bed tonight with a hard heart toward each other. And so this is a rule that Erica and I have made from day one. And it's been challenged and challenged and challenged. And sometimes the most difficult conversations are late at night when we have to get up early the next day and we're tired and we're exhausted and our margin is very, very thin.
Yeah.
And we're tested in this rule.
To the point of forcing myself to sit up in bed and keep the conversation going, because if I continue to lay down, even as intense as the conversation is, I'll fall asleep.
Yes.
So
I have this fixer idea, this fixer mindset, and I just want to fix things, you know? And that's my temptation in our relationship, mm-hmm. is to disregard her feelings, cut to the chase. What's the issue? Let's fix the issue. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to be upset because the issue is fixed. All right, let's go to bed. Emilio said that's good, and he's not married yet, so we're gonna okay. So,
Men,
I'm not gonna say all women, but women, some mine.
That is a safe statement.
My lover,
mostly.
She is not. It's not all about that. That's what we talked about earlier. You know, is validating those feelings and those emotions so important, even without fixing it. So,
yes.
What we've come to, when we come up on these big topics, these real mm-hmm. difficult topics that we're about to go to sleep, then we'll say, we talk through until our heart is soft toward each other again, and we say, you know what, we can't fix this tonight.
No, that doesn't mean like we're like, love you, that was a good conversation. No, it's like, okay, we got that worked out, I love you, good night, and going to sleep. And then we talk it out, we continue to have that conversation and continue to work through things. It doesn't, I just want to be clear that it's not like
it's not quite
fuzzy.
As cold as you just did, because I would not allow that to happen, because I'd be like, no, that's not it yet. We're still not there yet. And it's also not like cuddly or whatever, but there's a respect.
Yes.
There's a respect, yes. Where it is, I do love you.
Right.
I am committed to
right.
you. We are going to work this
yes.
out. And
yeah.
We're not going to let this get in between us.
Yeah.
And praying together when you go through challenges like this is so, so important. There's in the heat of the moment, you're not going to feel like going, okay, let's pray right now. Because you might pray a curse upon them or something. But we're going to pray together. Eric and I have a culture of this devotion in the morning early, mm-hmm. where we're each in our devotion together in the same, in the living room, early in the morning before the kids get up. And that's kind of how we connect spiritually, is that we're both doing our own reading and journaling and talking. We'll share ideas about different scriptures throughout that journey. But then when we do have issues that come up that are specific issues, then we definitely pray through those. Mm-hmm. So,
and I think this also is a moment to say that we can be slow to anger because we're trusting God, that He's in control, that He's the ultimate judge. He can right the wrongs, and we don't have to be in that position. And when you're in an argument, or just a disagreement or whatever, when those feelings feel overwhelming, I often, like Robin said, he wants to fix it, let's deal with it, get to the bottom of the issue and be done. And I am slower in that process, and I sometimes need to push a pause button and say, you know what, I just need a few minutes to step aside, not respond hatefully, think about it and pray about it and seek God about, you know, read the word or pray about it or whatever that is, to give that opportunity to be slow to anger, because often I want to lash out and be like, you don't understand me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so true.
So, yeah.
I'm serious. That is very true. All right, I want to tell you a couple more things and then we're going to wrap up. We are wrapping up right now. If you are not a part of a small group, I want to encourage you to join up with a group in this church. You will find people in this church that are going through the same thing you're going through. You will find people in this church that have already come out the other side and can speak into your life and mentor you. The pamphlet that you were given today is listing over 50 small groups that you can join up with this semester, we call it, over the next 3 or 4 months, from now until the end of the year. Join up with one of these groups, or two, or however many you want to, and allow these people to connect with you. Ask questions. If you're in here today and you say, you know what, our marriage is strong, we got this figured out, and you're already doing all this, that's awesome. We need you in a group to help all the rest of us that don't have it together yet. So we need everybody, people that are further along in the journey, people that are just starting out in their journey. We need to get together in this. The church creates these clusters of community, these small gatherings of people. They're just sets of relationships is all they are. But in the context of those small settings, you're going to be able to connect with somebody in a way that you couldn't here on a Sunday morning. Okay, you're going to be able to get to know them, share phone numbers, share meals together, ask questions. Hey, when you guys went through this, what were some of the things? And then maybe some of you are going through the same things right now. So I want to encourage you. The names are on there, the numbers are on there, or the emails are on there. If you're watching online right now, you can go to our website, psmchurch.com, and all the groups are listed there as well. So there's no excuse if you don't know about a group. It's in your hand right now. It's on our website. The ball's in your court. Go for it. On the back side of your sermon notes are several different resources for you. We offer financial counseling here if you're going through a financial issue. We offer marriage counseling if you've got a bigger issue that you're going through. Let me just say this. There's some stigma about going to counseling. Forget that. You don't need to have that stigma. Everybody needs counseling from time to time. Erica and I went to counseling, was it this year or last year?
Last year, yeah.
I mean, it's so important to sit down with somebody else that's on the outside, that's right. Been professionally trained, knows how to have conversations like this.
Yeah.
So we have somebody here that can help you through that.
I think, I just want to say the stigma that often is there is that you're going because it's broken and falling apart and there's no hope. And a lot of times if we would go even before then, and it doesn't yes. have to be then, it's about preventing getting to that point.
Yes.
It's about supporting and helping, because all of us are broken humans
yes.
that need help.
Yes.
And we often misunderstand each other. Mm.
So true. We also have pastoral meetings that we can have with you. where we can help you walk through your faith journey, how that intersects with your family. We'd love to do that. We also have Financial Peace University going on right now. We did have week one already, but it's not too late to jump into it. So all that information is there on your piece of paper. All right, let's pray. Let's get God connected directly right now. Would you join with me as we pray? And let's just invite Him in to our marriages, into our families, into our homes. Lord, we are so thankful, God, that we are given another chance at this. There's some people in here today and even watching online right now, God, that are walking through some difficult times. But Lord, we know You're faithful. We know You love us. We know You died for us. You died for redemption, not judgment. You died to redeem hearts and redeem covenants and relationships and marriages. God, if there's people in here today that they're facing divorce, they're facing bankruptcy, they're facing being expelled or struggling or failing out or whatever it is, God, I just pray that peace would flood over our souls right now. Not just because we've heard positive, you know, ideas or tips, but God, because you gave us a solution. Jesus Christ died for our sins, rose from the dead, bringing healing, bringing strength, bringing new beginnings. I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to flow through every heart, every mind, every relationship, every conversation. There's people in here today, God, they know they have to have a tough conversation. They can see it on the horizon. God, I pray they'd have the courage to do it biblically, that they would surrender. They would not do it selfishly or out of anger, God, but they would do it out of the hope of resolution, out of the hope, God, that You're going to make all things new. If you're here today and you're not walking with God and you don't have a relationship with Him, let's just give our hearts to God right now. You can join up with the rest of us on a journey toward Christ right now by simply surrendering your heart to Him. And it's a simple prayer. You can say what I'm saying, or you can use your own words if you would like. Let's just say, Jesus, I welcome You in. I give You my heart today. I surrender. I trust that You're my Savior. Please forgive me of my sin. I look to You alone for salvation. And I give You my life today. I open up my heart. Fill me with Your Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.